How do we forgive? It is, in fact, the heart of the matter, isn't it? What do we do with the hurts that we feel, that we carry with us, that sometimes we transmit to others and through generations? How do we stop the pain? The only way to do that is by forgiving. Not forgiving is the equivalent of taking poison intended for someone else. The only way to really wrap our minds around the work of forgiveness is to understand the power of grace. Now, grace is a foreign concept to many of us because we live in a world where we are taught a great deal about the law and about expectations. And if we're honest, our expectations of ourselves and our expectations of others can be rather high and often unrealistic. And so, in the epistle, Paul is talking about how the law, the Jewish law, and all those who are trying to keep every single law, live up to every single expectation, found themselves in a trap. Because the law and expectations and unrelenting expectations only serve to condemn us. Now, we need laws and we need expectations, but we also need to recognize, as the scripture says today, that we are human. And it turns out, humaning is not very easy. And so the only antidote, really, the only way that we can make our way through the trap of law and expectation and judgment is to appreciate this singular message of the gospel, which is grace, best defined as the one-way, unconditional love of God. Now think about that for a moment again. Grace is the unconditional, one-way love of God. It breaks through our judgment, that can heal our pain and give us a certain freedom. A certain freedom where we don't have to carry the burdens that we have carried, and that we often carry throughout a lifetime. And we begin to understand grace, you see, when we have been forgiven ourselves. In fact, that may be the only way to really understand grace, is when you find yourself in a trap that you've set for yourself, and you have no way out, and someone comes to you and says, "I know you're in a difficult spot, but I'm going to show you the pathway to freedom and hope." Now, honestly, the place where I probably first learned this, I'm sure I learned it quite a bit when I was in my home, although it was filled with expectations as well, but it was actually in my first year at Hamden Sydney College. I remember the first few days of orientation where we were told all about school and all about the things that we were expected to do. And then there was this final session with the Dean of Students, Dean Lewis Drew, the ultimate Southern gentleman, who proceeded to say, "Congratulations on attending Hamden Sydney. Your number one priority now is to actually graduate from here." I remember we all sort of laughed it off, and I proceeded to launch myself into utter joy and fun as we went from fraternity party to fraternity party, and we traveled and visited countless, all the women's colleges in the area that were known for lovely colonial architecture. And I remember getting a phone call from the Dean of Students, who said he would like for me to come and visit with him. So I walked over to this federal brick house, large oriental rug. You can see it, can't you? Big leather sofa, degrees on the walls. He turns around in his blue blazer and bow tie, and he looks upon me and he says, "Son, do you enjoy him, Sydney?" I said, "Sir, I am having a really good time here." He said, "Would you like to stay here?" And I just remember that feeling. You know that feeling when all of a sudden your junk catches up to you? He said, "We have something here called classes and grades. And if you want to keep your academic scholarship, you will put your head in the books and get these grades up." Now that may sound easy for someone who studies, but I'd really gotten off to a wrong start. And I had dug myself into a hole, and I was terrified. I was there on academic scholarship. And surely if I had not been able to pull my act together, I would have had to go to another school to which I would have not had an academic scholarship. And who knows what the outcome would have been. Dean Drew graciously set up an appointment with my advisor, who proceeded to tell me, "Son, I've been with many Hemp City boys in this situation. If you'll listen to me, you'll get your grades up and everything will be all right." Grace, a new start, a new beginning. It could have been a very different outcome. But it's now my calling and my joy when someone comes to me and says, "I'm in a hole that I don't think I can get out of," to be able to say, "I've been in a hole too." And with other people and the help of others, we'll find a way out. We have the law, and we need to follow the rules. But, as it turns out, we will never, ever live up to the expectations, first of ourselves, or of others. But thanks be to God that God is a loving Father who adores us, who sees in us, even when we can't see in ourselves, the unlimited potential, who says to us this day, "Lay down those burdens, finally. Don't carry those hurts any longer. Don't transmit those to your family and to future generations. Stop the madness. Accept my grace. And in accepting my grace, offer that grace to other people. And not only will you experience healing, but so will all those around you." Close with words from a gospel hymn that I just absolutely love. It says something about Jesus and about grace and about what Jesus has done for us on the cross. It's called "Jesus Dropped the Charges." I was guilty of all charges, doomed and disgraced, but Jesus, with his special love, saved me by his grace. He pleaded, he pleaded, he pleaded my case. Jesus dropped the charges. Now I'm saved through grace and faith. At Calvary, I heard him say, At Calvary, I heard him say, at Calvary, I heard him say, case dismissed, saved by grace.